Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Canto 4, Chapter 27, text number 18. Chapter entitled Attack by Chandravega on the City of Paranjana. Sa eva puryam madubuk panchaleshu svaparshade upannitam balim greenan srijito navidabayam. Translation, Srila Prabhupada. King Paranjan collected taxes in the city known as Panchala, and thus was able to engage in sexual indulgence. Being completely under the control of women, he could not understand that his life was passing away and that he was reaching the point of death. Please repeat. King Paranjan collected taxes in the city known as Panchala, and thus was able to engage in sexual indulgence. Being completely under the control of women, he could not understand that his life was passing away and that he was reaching the point of death. Purport, Srila Prabhupada. Government men, including kings, presidents, secretaries and ministers, are in a position to utilize taxes collected from the citizens for sense gratification. It is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam that in this Kali Yuga, government men, Rajanyas, and those connected with the government, as well as exalted government ministers, secretaries and presidents, will all simply collect taxes for sense gratification. The government is top-heavy, and without increasing taxes, the government cannot maintain itself. When taxes are collected, they are utilized for the sense gratification of the government officials. Such irresponsible politicians forget that there is a time when death will come to take away all their sense gratification. Some of them are convinced that after life everything is finished. This is the atheistic theory conceived long ago by a philosopher called Charvaka. Charvaka recommended that man should live very opulently by either begging, borrowing, or stealing. He also maintained that one should not be afraid of death. Can you turn this down a bit? It's distracting. He also maintained that one should not be afraid of death, the next life, the past life, or an impious life, because after the body is burnt to ashes, everything is finished. This is the philosophy of those who are too much materially addicted. Such philosophizing will not save one from danger of death, nor will it save one from an abominable afterlife. Sa eva puryam, pukam karojiva chalam pangam laite karim yad kripa tamaham bande shri gurun dinatarinam. sa eva puriyam madu bhok panchaleshu svaparshider upannitam balim grinan srijito navidadbayam. Translation, Srila Prabhupada. King Puranjan collected taxes in the city known as Panchala and thus was able to engage in sexual indulgence. Being completely under the control of women, he could not understand that his life was passing away and he was reaching the point of death. So, this continues the allegory of Narada Muni to educate King Prichinabharati by reciting the story of Puranjan. Puranjan means the enjoyer. And he is situated in Panchala. In Mahabharata, the city of Panchala, that was the place of King Draupada, where Draupadi came from. Here, Panchala, as we saw there, in the word for word, means the five senses, pancha. So this body is composed of five senses, touch, sight, smell, taste, and hearing. So Puranjana, the enjoyer, is situated within the body. So Narada Muni is explaining, this situation is not good if you just use it for sense enjoyment. If you just reside within the body and this human form, which is especially meant for self-realization, realizing one's relationship with the Supreme Lord, if this body is used just for sense enjoyment and particularly sexual indulgence, excessive sexual indulgence, then your time is passing without profit. And in fact, there is a hint here in the purport that actually if the body is used for excessive sense enjoyment, then the afterlife may be, as Prabhupada said, if you remember, abominable. Human body is not meant for excessive sense enjoyment. Of course, we have appetite. We want to eat. But we should not eat anything, and we should not eat excessively. If you eat excessively, you will be subject to diabetes. And if you eat anything, then you become polluted in your body. This will affect your mind. Your soul will be covered in more in consciousness. If you eat too little, then you may develop tuberculosis through weakness in the body. The infection will spring out. So the appetite is there for food, but it should not be overindulged. As the yogic maxim is, one should eat to live, not live to eat. So similarly, this body, another appetite is the sexual appetite. So therefore, in all human societies, and particularly it is very finely advised in the Vedic literature, that the sexual appetite should be also satisfied within marriage. But that is the first regulation, that the sexual appetite should be confined to one woman, one's wife. And the same way the wife should forego all other male relationships other than her husband. And that is yagi, that is sacrifice. Because yes, the man may find other women attractive, but he sacrifices the satisfaction, or as it was explained in the previous chapter, he sacrifices hunting in the forest. The material world is compared to a forest that one becomes lost within. He sacrifices that hunting mentality and he confines himself to a chaste relationship with his wife. Similarly, a woman, she may find other men attractive, but she confines herself in a mode of sacrifice to her husband. And we've seen the advice in the earlier chapter that the man should protect, maintain and guide his family. That is also going to come in the fifth canto, that one should not enter into married life or kingship or rulership or guruship if you cannot liberate your dependence from birth and death, if you cannot imbue them with the Krishna tattva, the science of self-realization. If you are just a bad example to your children, just eat, drink, sleep, be merry, forget spiritual life, then you are not guiding your family properly according to Vedic literature. Then you become Grihamedi, Grihastha. Griha means post. So the post is the woman, and around the post the children will accumulate. So the husband has a duty to protect first, then he should maintain. But with that material protection and maintenance, from within that safe format, he should guide the family spiritually. So the woman, as we saw earlier, she should be faithful to the husband. She should believe in the husband. She should believe in the good nature of the husband. That will inspire the husband. The husband, Purusha, representing as above, so below, he is meant to be proactive. He is meant to maintain, be a man. As Krishna told Arjuna, stand and fight, do your duty. So when the man is proactive in protecting and maintaining and guiding the family, then the woman will see and she'll be satisfied. Oh, I'm nicely protected and maintained. She will have faith in her husband. And then, faithful, chaste. She should just consider all other men as her sons. And I have only one husband, only one man in my life. In the same way, the man should consider all other women other than his wife as Mataji. Huh? And so of course this nonsense idea nowadays, women's liberation, women should be equal. Actually, Vedic prescription is that the women should be considered superior. What man, what son, considers himself superior to his mother? Right? So, in Vaishnavism, this squabble, Sri Sri Gaunitai, Krishna Balaram, Radhasham Sunda, Ki? Jai. So, this modern squabble about equal rights, this is all a concoction. It is actually degrading women. In the Vaishnav conclusion, Siddhanta, the Vaishnav takes everyone as superior. Vaishnavism means I am servant of everyone. So the man is the servant of the women by protecting them and maintaining them. Just because the woman is being protected and maintained does not mean she is inferior. The king is protected by the army, is he not? But he is superior to the army. So the man should see the woman as an object of service. And the woman should see the husband as an object of service and chastity. And this will empower the husband. But ultimately, as she is Prakriti and he is Purusha in the material sense, she should defer to the husband. And she will do this naturally if the husband fulfills his duties. She will naturally be the follower, obedient, spontaneous servant. And we already explained in the Mahabharata that Satyabhama met Draupadi. And she asked him, how do you keep the Pandavas under such control? So there in the Mahabharata there, Vanapava, I think 32 chapter, is explained there, Draupadi explains to Satyabhama. Because Satyabhama said, oh, are you using some ointments or some perfume or mystic charm? He said, no. Draupadi said, no, that is for that, if a woman like that tries to manipulate her husband in this way, tantric methods, she becomes like a tigress to the husband, becomes fearful. So the Pandavas serve me because I am always anxious to serve them. We talked at length in this before. So if the husband and the wife serve one another, they will reciprocate in that mood. But if they try to become predominant, and who is the boss and all this, who is equal and who is this, then the reciprocation will become caustic, and there'll be a competition instead of cooperation in the house, and then the house will become a battleground. The children will be disturbed seeing the animosity between the parents. So this is the Vedic advice, and this is in accordance with the natural qualities of man and woman, that this should be performed. However, it is not the end in itself to cooperate nicely and have a good home. As we said before, Gurunyasyat, Pitanyasyat, one should not be a father or a guru or a king or any leader in society if you do not lead your dependents on the path of liberation. So the overall system, the overall aim is, in the human form of life, is to become liberated from the illusion that I am this body, that I am man or woman. So if the philosophical understanding is there within the family unit, if and particularly the man is meant to investigate this spiritual knowledge, Krishna Tattva Veti Sei Guru Hoy, who is Guru? One who knows Krishna Tattva. So Krishna Tattva is expounded by Shastra, Sadhu, Guru Parampara, Mahajan, and by Guru. So Lord Chaitanya's prescription is everyone should become Guru. Amara Agyaya Guru Tara Aidesh. On my order become Guru. Sometimes it is said, Gostiyanandi, Bhajanandi, and people think, oh, we are a preaching movement, we don't want to do bhajan. But actually you should not really separate the two things. One should learn the system of bhajan and teach it. So one should combine those two aspects. They are natural. If you are actually situated in self-realization and you are tasting the rasa of self-realization, concomitant, inherent in that mood will be the desire to give it to other people. Just if you have a valuable jewel, you will not hide it away in a dark place. You'll take it out and you'll show it, will you not? You'll enjoy, thrilling people with the beauty of your expensive jewel. So somebody who is realizing his relationship or her relationship with the Supreme beyond the bodily situation will naturally want to propagate this knowledge. That is the sign of an actual devotee. Devotee is not concerned with his own liberation alone, but rather that everyone should be liberated from material illusion. And because we have this bodily condition and we're not 100% realized in Krishna consciousness, therefore the Vedas give prescription for married life as well as brahmachari life and vanaprastha and sannyas life. And it should not be misused. One should take the advice, because here, as Narada Muni is explaining to King Paranjan, at the end of your life, you're going to meet that situation which is not well liked by the materially absorbed, particularly death. Death, assures death and taxes. Mrityu sarva harascha-ham. Everything will be taken away at the time of death. So, having attained the human form of life, which is meant for realization of one's relationship to the Supreme Lord, don't waste that chance. And don't presume that you will be a human being in your next life. Sometimes that foolish idea is, oh, reincarnation is a great thing. In the next life, then I'll do spiritual work. No, but you may not be in a human form. There are 8,400,000. Now you have attained human life. Understand, count off your days. Today may be the final day, or you may have 50 more. But don't you waste your time. You've got time. You're in the material world. Krishna is bestowing time. But don't just peter it away. Use it nicely. But use it nicely not just to enjoy the material world, but to develop an understanding of the transcendental world and your eternal relationship there with the Supreme Lord. And if you are doing that, then you will be filled with a greater happiness than anything can be that can be provided by the material Panchala, the city of five senses. The soul is pleasure-seeking, but if he seeks pleasure through the material body, which is ultimately a lump of matter, he will never gain satisfaction. The soul wants unlimited pleasure. He wants to have eternal pleasure. That is the nature of the soul. But it cannot be found in the material sphere. Therefore, Vaidhi or Varnashram, the Vedic social system, is meant to discipline the material appetites and the material endeavors so that these things are satisfied in a regulated way, and one can attain a situation within which one can perform bhajan. Manmana bhava madbhakto majaji mam namaskuru. Just like a starving man, he may find it very difficult to do his bhajan because his hunger is there. So if we artificially renounce the material appetites and don't satisfy them in a regulated way, then we may be overwhelmed by distraction of this gnawing hunger. So this is the Vedic prescription, step by step. So here, Prabhupada interprets the analogy, the allegory, in a very interesting way. And it's there, of course, in seed form in the translation. That King Paranjan was collecting taxes and misusing them. So Prabhupada interpreted it in the purport to mean how bad government ministers will take taxes will take taxes from the people, and instead of using it for public works and public benefit, they will misuse the money. This is particularly true in Kali Yuga. But at the same time, this understanding is springing from the allegory, where it is criticized that King Panchala is collecting taxes. What does this mean? This means that he's misusing the energy of the body for sense enjoyment. So similarly, the government ministers, they are also residing within the body politic, the social body. And they are collecting taxes, not from one body, but from all the bodies, all the citizens. So they are not meant to use those taxes for their own embellishment. Of course, they have drawn it from the populace. So therefore, they should use that tax income for the benefit of the person, not for the their own degradation. That will ultimately condemn them to hell. Just in the same way that, as we said at the beginning of the class, that if you use this body for excessive sense enjoyment, excessive sex life, excessive eating, intoxication, then you will destroy this body. And in your old age you'll become senile and weak. And this is going to be explained. That King Puranjan, because he was only concerned of enjoying the situation of kingship, he became very weak in mind and body in his old age. He was attacked by Chandravega. Chandravega. Chanda means fierce, and Vega means irrevocable power. So time will come, not as a friend, to take you from the material situation to Vaikuntha, but time will come and take you and throw you into hell as a result of misbehaving and misusing the valuable human body. So similarly, government ministers that simply tax the people and put it all in the back pocket and throw a few pennies here and there to their cronies, they will be in hell in their next life. It is one thing to destroy yourself, but having attained a high position in society, if you destroy the country through avarice, greed, stealing from the people, putting on a charade of serving the people, then you are surely bound for an even deeper section of hell as a reaction. You will not attain human life. You will become, Krishna explains, those who are envious and mischievous. I perpetually throw into the lower species of demoniac life. So, if we are given great responsibility, we have a great duty. If we have high position, then we have great responsibility at the same time. And if that position is used nicely, then one will be greatly elevated. But if one uses a very powerful position, misuses, then the reaction will also be greatly exaggerated. More than just one individual who through weakness, who lacking determination, good sangha, he destroys himself through intoxication and a dissolute whatnot life. He's only destroying himself. But if we destroy a whole country through misbehaving as a government minister, then the reaction will be terrible. Because just like a man, if he looks after his family nicely, then he becomes glorified. But if he destroys his family members, he goes to hell. So human life is not meant for sense enjoyment. At the beginning of the Bhagavatam, when Maharaj Parikshit understands that Sringi, the son of the Brahmana, has cursed him, he calls all the sages of the kingdom and he asks them, now, I'm going to die within 7 days. We're all going to die within 7 days. There are only 7 days in the week. What is my duty? And he is informed, Ante Narayana Smriti. You should prepare that when you leave this body at the end, at the full stop of your life sentence, Ante Narayana Smriti. But don't think that you can just do it at that moment. You must prepare now by sadhana. So Vanashram is actually Vedic system. And if we see the social body, Vana means the four material orders and ashram is the spiritual orders. So sometimes people say, oh, that Vanashram, that was in the past. It's not relevant nowadays. We have democracy. We have demon crazy. One set of people come in, steal the tax money and run away. Then another come in and steal the tax money, then run away. We don't need that. We are advanced now. Well, that is not the Vedic idea. Krishna says that it is a system he has created. Chaturvanam. Maya Sristam, I have created it. And we can see it is still existent in society. The Vedic system is the Brahmanas, Brahmana Janati Brahman. What is a real Brahmana? It is not Janma Karma, it is Guna Karma. It is by quality and work. And the Brahmana Janati Brahman, a real Brahmana is Brahmanishta, Shrotriyam Brahmanishta. That he has heard the Vedic knowledge, he has absorbed that Vedic knowledge, and as a result of sadhana and practice, he is Brahmanishta. He is situated in the realization direct of transcendental platform, Turiya, beyond the modes of material nature. So he is considered the head of the social body. And then the Kshatriya is compared to the arms. One's strength is reflected. Virya is reflected in one's arms. But also, right arm means strength and left arm means detachment. So the government minister, the Kshatriya function, should be balanced, the power of government official, by a certain detachment. So the Kshatriyas, they should also be situated in spiritual knowledge. And then the body is representing the Vaishya function. That is producing the energy. Sometimes it's compared to the belly. The belly digests the input and gives energy or economic benefit to the whole body. And then the Shudra is compared to the legs. So you cannot really say that one part of the body is more important than another, but relatively speaking, you say the head. When the body is under attack, you protect your head first. But all parts of the body are necessary. Now, but what's happening in the modern world is that instead of the head guiding the arms and controlling the belly, the belly function, the multinational industrial complex, is directing the government. The politicians are under the control of business community. They may take the vote from the people, but they take their instructions from the business community. And so if the belly is ordering the hands, instead of the head controlling the hands, the arms, the government function, then what will the belly say? The belly will say, keep feeding me, keep feeding me, keep feeding me. The belly will become big, big, big. Inflation. It will burst. And the weight will burden the sudras. The legs will think, they'll get varicose veins. They'll be taxed more. Huh? And the head will become, I've got diabetes, I can't think straight. But you can see that these elements of society are here. And just like there's advice for married life, there is also advice for the wider social body. And you can see, you take any institution, say for instance a university. You have your brahminical function, the professors. Then you have your kshatriya function, administration, security. Then you have your financial function, the torso. And then you have the workers that find employment in the other upper three departments. Or a hospital. You have the brahminical function, the doctors. And there again you have the security and administration, record keeping, government function. And then you have financial department, collecting money, using it properly. And then you have the nurses and the workers and the cleaners. Also in a temple, you have the brahminical function doing the puja, doing the kirtan, doing the pravachan. Then you have the administrative function, right? Protecting security guards, guiding the direction of the temple community. Then you have the financial department, collecting funds, selling devotional items. And then you have the sudra function. So you cannot say, oh, we want Varnashram, it's going to come from the moon. It's already there in human society. Every human society will have its teachers, naturally. It will have those that are Ishwara Bhav, that want to control and administrate society. And then it will also have its business class. And then it will also have its sudra class that just want a good job and to have a wife and family and do a good hard work. Just like the legs. Everyone likes to go for a good walk, right? You feel good. I'm using the energy of the legs. So the sudra function, they're giving energy to the whole body. And they like to be exercised. If the shudras are unemployed, the legs are unemployed, they degrade. Do they not? The knees become arthritic. The legs, the bones, the joints. So the sudras without employment become degraded. They take to intoxication and a very dissolute life. When the vaishya function becomes degraded, then it becomes the boss of the whole body. The belly swells up and it becomes the center of everything. And when the kshatriya function is controlled by the belly, as we explained, then it becomes pandering to the belly. And then, of course, now in the modern day, the people, the learned institutions, are not studying the Vedic literature, which is Krishna's handbook, description of reality. They're not realizing the truth. Now, in this Kali Yuga, in the educational institutions, mental speculation and scientific speculation about what is life, everything came from nothing, right? This ridiculous idea, right? There was nothing, and it exploded. And hey presto, here's your Nobel Prize. 1,000,000 years later. And then next year there's another Nobel Prize because he disproved the other Nobel Prize. But then if he disproved that previous Nobel Prize, he should give the money back and the medal because he's been disproved, right? So now in this modern day, no one is studying the actual knowledge given by Veda. Veda means knowledge. They're taking knowledge as mental speculation. Oh, we're progressing in knowledge. No, you're like a drunk in a dark forest bumping into one tree after another. And as you bang your head, a flash of light comes in your head. And, oh, that's how it is. Then bang, oh, no, it's like that. And because time is progressing, you think you're progressing in knowledge. But you're only progressing from one foolish speculation, one misunderstanding of the creation and the purpose of the creation, to another mistaken idea. But the Vedas are the perfect knowledge, Shabda Brahma. They are the handbook of the creation. Krishna has created this world, material world, the spiritual creation, and he's given an instruction manual. But it must be received in Guru Parampara, and it must be understood in the light of sadhana. Then the truth of the Vedas become revealed, self-evidently, just like the sunlight. It is self-evident that the sun is the source of heat and energy. One doesn't have to speculate. One doesn't prove the existence of the sun through a torchlight. The Veda, the sun is self-evidently illuminating the universe, the planet, giving heat and light. So the Vedas, when properly understood under proper Brahminical tuition, realized tuition, then they become self-evidently the correct analysis and description and entreatment to how human life can be used. So this material world is perfect because it is meant for two purposes from the point of view of the living entity. One is that you can enjoy in this material world forgetful of the Supreme Lord, or understanding the fallacies, inebrieties of material life, the temporary nature, the lower quality of existence in the material sphere, one can then turn to spiritual realization. So all the miseries, birth, death, old age and disease, all the problems of material life are to teach us you are not supreme. You are not the controller of reality. This is the idea also among the so-called Kali Yuga Brahminical function, apotheosis. They think that by genetic manipulation we will become as gods. This is the Luciferian doctrine in the particular world order that we have now. We don't have Varnashram. What we have is the, as they say, the new world order. But actually the new world order is the old demoniac order. Confirmed. What's wrong with this mic? Why is it being turned down?
Hare Krishna.
So, there is actually an eternal world order. Now everyone talks about new world order, but actually there's no new world order. The eternal world order is that everything is already conquered. Krishna is already Ishvara Parama of every atom and molecule. But we are meant to make our own determination. Sometimes people will think, oh, I'll take up spiritual life, I'll take to chanting when Krishna tells me. Krishna's waiting for you to decide. Sankalp in Sanskrit. Even sadhu sangha, even guru cannot give you sankalp. Sankalp means your determination. It is your responsibility. It is the essence of your being to desire. But you must learn to desire correctly under Vedic guidance, Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Just like if you want to be a good musician. You have to be determined. You may have Mozart and Beethoven as your teacher, but if you don't practice, how will you ever become a musician? Now you may have the local piano teacher as your teacher, but if you are determined, you'll become a great musician. Krishna will supply everything ultimately, but your determination is the key factor. You may mix with other musicians, but if you waste your time and you don't practice, but if you use the association, the sangha of other musicians to inspire you, then you will become a musician, or you become a doctor if you mix with other doctors, if you study, if you have the sankalp. So sankalp, determination, your determination, you are the architect of your own destiny. As it is, Prabhupada many times says, man proposes and God disposes. So all the Vedic advice is there for government behavior. The Brahmins are not meant to be sense enjoyers or mental speculators. They're not meant to just sit down on leather armchairs, smoke cigars and drink brandy and think, what did you think about the purpose of life? No, it's there. It's there in the Vedic literature. And then the Kshatriyas, yes, you have Ishwara Bhav. Good, we need managers. We want managers. But take advice from the realized sadhus and Mahajan and the Shastra. And Vaishya, yes, we need economic function. But protect the land. Now what is happening, right? We're told there's too many human beings, they're destroying the environment. No. Human beings are not destroying the environment. No. The industrial complex, industry is in destroying the environment. 1 billion villagers in India are providing food. They're living off the land and very wonderfully producing grains and vegetables. But they are not a cancer upon the earth. The cancer upon the earth is the pollution from the factories, from the industrial waste. Now the Jamuna is black. You can't take archaman there. You cannot take bath. The people are not destroying it. This is the propaganda you hear in the media. Oh, there's too many people, they're destroying the world. No! The Vaishya, the industrial complex, creating nuts and bolts. You can't eat nuts and bolts. You can eat nuts and raisins. That section will collapse. But the nuts and raisins. So the real Vaishya function is to develop the land and protect the cows, and through milk and vegetable, and this is what is necessary. We don't need sports cars costing $500,000 and all the waste and the pollution. This is not being done by the people. This is being done by the Vaishya function, whose only idea is to increase profit. Make the belly bigger and bigger. And the Shudras, they want to, is nothing, this is very noble. They want to do a good day's work. Everyone likes to feel satisfied. That's a very wonderful thing. They should not be unemployed. If you don't employ your legs, if you go for a good walk and you keep exercise, if you exercise through your legs, then you'll have a wonderful healthy body. But if you have an economic system where 20-30% of the population, Shudra population, is unemployed to drive down wages so that more profit can be made by the belly, then you'll have a degraded society where intoxication, drunkenness, bhang, ganja, smack, because the sudra, it wants to work, he wants to have a good situation, and that is a noble function, and he should be, he has a right to work. But if you have an economic system where everyone is just jammed into cities, producing and being sacked, wage slaves, then the sudras, they will cause revolution. And as far as political system, amongst the sudras, yes, democracy is there. Communism, socialism, they share. They are 90% of society. Capitalism is for the Vaishya function. Monarchy is for the Kshatriya function. And anarchy, not in the sense of destroying society, but in the exchange and rule of ideas above government function, is the natural function of the Brahmanas. Out of 1,000 people, one will be a natural Brahmanical type, 9 will be Kshatriya type, 90 will be Vaishya type, and 900 will be Shudra type. So if you have a political system that just panders to numbers instead of education and Vedic realization, then you'll end up with the misdirected society where all the lowest classes take government posts and then exploit the collection of taxes. But if society is guided by spiritually realized people of the Brahminical and Kshatriya function, then the whole body is regulated. Do you understand the point? Amongst the Sudras, age is considered supreme. Amongst the Vaishyas, Vaishya function, body, torso function, wealth is considered superior. Amongst the Kshatriya function, the arms, strength or virya, potency, is considered the superior function. Amongst the Brahmins, ultimately learning, and then above learning is devotion. Devotion to the Supreme Bhagavan. So, if these things that are gleaned from the Vedic literature are understood, and you actually have a class of people educated in Vedic knowledge and guiding society in that way, then the social body will become healthy. If not, if the brain and the arms are disorganized, then the whole thing will become polluted. And the different sections of the bodies will compete. And you'll have revolution of the workers against the capitalistic class. And then the capitalistic class, the torso, will try to dominate the arms and make the arms, through bribery, the servant of the belly. And the Brahmins, or the Brahminical function, the learned class, they become a load of mental speculators saying ridiculous things like, everything came from nothing. There was nothing and it exploded. Now if there's nothing and it's not there, that means it's not there. So how was it there to explode? Do you understand? Nothing means it. Even a child knows that if he's got no money in his pocket, no pennies, he cannot buy toffees at the corner shop. But in the modern day, the scientists say, well, there was nothing. No, there was never nothing, because nothing means it was never. So how could it explode? Oh, well, we've got a formula. And you see, well, we're going to work that out. Post-dated check. Okay, come back when you've got the answer. We're satisfied with this one. Aham sarvasya pravavo matak sarvam pravatate. Everything proceeds from the absolute truth. And as well as there was shaktis and varieties, the Vedic knowledge is proceeding from the absolute truth also. And it is full of advice for the individual and the society, the collective society. And it should be understood properly. And the basic idea is here in this verse, sex indulgence. And even in the material society, there are books written on this, that when a society is nearing collapse, the sports people and the movie stars and sex becomes very obsessive in society. That is the sign of a collapsing society. And usually these societies, they last 250 years. What happens is, just like the British Empire, they were here. Now it's Republic Day, you kicked out the British. Well done. So, usually at the beginning of a material society, there's a nobility, the women and the men they have, and then it expands. And then there becomes a period of militarism, where the people become self-righteous. We have a powerful kingdom, let us expand. And then they expand their armies. But then, at the same time, with the wealth that is garnered, the ruling class becomes corrupt in Rome. And they develop ideas that we are God. This is the Caesar in Rome. He says, I'm not just the emperor, I am God upon earth. So at the top of this so-called New World Order is the idea of apotheosis, that we can become God, not servants of God. And then as society degrades in this way, the elite garner all the money, suck it up to the top, and the mass of society become ghostly, unemployed, degraded. And they, like in Rome, they had circuses, and they had the chariots and the gladiators, sports. And nowadays everyone thinks if you're a sportsman, you're a god. And in those days in the Roman Empire, the chariot drivers, they had millions, billions, they were paid for running around the circus, crashing into other chariots. They were all this great hero. And then there was these gladiatorial fights. And so now we have sports. It's very important how many runs you can get in 3 hours. Oh, I'm overjoyed. So this is a sign of a society in decline. And sex, nowadays, everything is... The television is about the advertisements, not the programs. And everything is sex, beauty contests, fashion, the female form, enjoy, sense enjoyment, and then go to hell. And this is to distract the people from what is going on above them at the industrial corporate level, by the bankers, the black nobility, and the false religious people. So that is what happens when the Vaishya function takes over. Eventually diabetes and the belly pops, becomes ulcerated, and the whole thing collapses. And it's thrown in the ground and it becomes food for the worms. And so we see the glory that once was Rome. We see the Greek Empire. So this materialistic mental speculation society based on atheism and ridiculous ideas that everything came from nothing. This is the philosophy of the Rakshasas. This is all an open defiance of the position of the Supreme Lord and a refusal to accept that we are subordinate to the Supreme Lord, and therefore the intelligent program for human society is to accept the superiority, the supreme position of the Supreme Lord. Krishna stu Bhagavan Swayam. So Lord Chaitanya has come. People don't understand these things. Everyone, manda manda sumatayo, manda bhagya hi upadruta, Kali Yuga, everyone disturbed, ignorant, covered by passion and ignorance. They cannot understand philosophy very nicely. So Lord Chaitanya has come and he's given a way to awaken the sleeping soul. Huh? What is that? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This Ma Mantra is especially empowered in Kali Yuga to awaken the soul from passion and ignorance and bring to the transcendental platform, wherein the natural understanding of the soul, the natural understanding of reality and the purpose of life becomes revealed within the heart. Prakshaksha vagamam dharmyam. Krishna says in the ninth chapter of the Gita, Pratyaksha, by this knowledge, Rajavidya, Rajaguya, it is giving direct perception of the transcendental self. So philosophy and discussion, Bhagavatam, that is for those purified souls. But for those that are not understanding, are covered by passion and ignorance, and spending 5 hours, 6 hours a day listening to the guru of Kali Yuga television. Previously people had temple in their room and they would offer to their deity. Now everyone... five hours a day. So exhausted by useless work for a few rupees in a factory. The tax money is taken, put in the back pocket, over at Switzerland. This is the situation. Actually, people, men, should realize their responsibility. They should lead their families on the spiritual path. That's why it's very nice to see now, and this is the duty of India. Duty of Indian people is they are the possessors of the Vedic knowledge. And if India is to become the greatest nation on the earth, which is its birthright, because this is the place where Krishna appears, where Ramchandra appears, where Baladeva appears, where all the great Vedic rishis appear, where the Vedic knowledge is maintained by parampara. India is meant. Every country thinks, oh, we are the greatest nation. But actually India is meant to be the center of human civilization. That is the purpose. But that means you have great responsibility to study the Vedas and spread this knowledge throughout the world. This is what Lord Chaitanya, what is the verse? Bharata Bhumiti. Yes. Those that have taken birth in India, they have a great responsibility to take this Vedic knowledge and spread it all over the world. And do good to others, para upakar. And it's very simple in Chaitanya Bhagavat, very simple, three things to remember. Bhajo Krishna, bolo Krishna, Krishna upadesha karo. Right? Worship Krishna, Supreme Lord. Give up all this Mayavadi idea, I am God, you are God, we are all God. Everyone's Prime Minister. That means there's no Prime Minister. Right? If you go to Delhi and you say, oh, we're all Prime Minister, then there'll be confusion. No, Bhajo Krishna. Krishna is Ishwara Parama Krishna, Lord Brahma says. Vedic knowledge is not pantheistic. That is a nonsense spread by the British. You kick them out. Very good. Monotheism is there in the Vedas. Ishvara Parama Krishna, Bhajo Krishna. And in Kali Yuga, the sadhana is Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And at the same time, Krishna Upadesha Karo, Upadesh, the instructions in Parampara, follow them. And be a man. Throw your television street in the television in the street and hit it with a hammer. So be good. The wife might complain. The children, well, it's gone mad. But this is the fact. Spend your time. Yes, we have our duty. Spend your time. Yes, you have to bring income into the family. But spend your spare time in studying Bhagavatam, Ramayana, Mahabharata. Then you're a hero. But for that you must have sankalp. Huh? How will you grow that sankalp? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Get the nectar of the holy name. Then make that your life's goal. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.